Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise.
Sorry.
Hey, let me hear you say it.
Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm very, 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 very happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All righty then. Glory to God. Wow. Thank you, husband. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm laughing, but Voices of Victory is my husband, and I didn't realize that. And he has a smiley face on in the chat room. It's good to be able to laugh. Glory to God. Can you guys hear me? If you can, please say so, because it sounds like I don't hear anything. If you can you hear me, somebody wave at me in the chat room to let me know if you can hear me. Praise God. All right. Thank you so much. Well, we have a very, very exciting broadcast on tonight, and I am so excited. I am so happy. Our guest, Michelle Bless, I don't know if you read the promo for this or not, but this woman of God has really been through some things, and I cannot give her testimony, but I would like for you to listen to her and give her your complete attention. But before we do this, I'm going to ask Michelle Bless, when I bring her on the line, to at the end of the broadcast, that she would pray and pray for those souls that are lost, because we want to make sure that we pray for those that are not born again so that they can at least hear the word of God. The word of God says some water, some plant, some water, but it is God that gives the increase. So we don't know whether we're planting, we don't know whether we're watering, but we're wanting God to give the increase either way. So before the end of the broadcast, we want God to just, we want Michelle Bless to just pray that God will open the hearts and open the eyes of the unbeliever, that he will take the darkness off of their eyes, the darkness that Satan has blinded them with, so they can hear and receive the word of God so that they might be born again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know that God has called me to pray and to minister to and witness to those that are not born again, because we are living in the times where we need to be preaching salvation day in and day out, salvation day in and day out. And that is so why I want my broadcast to be on every day if possible, because I want someone on here speaking the word of God about salvation. I want somebody on here every day speaking salvation, whether it's just reading the Bible, it might even be praying, but whatever it is, I want somebody on this broadcast speaking the word of God about salvation, because souls are being lost every single day. And for those that are assigned to hear the word of God will hear it. Glory to God. I believe that in my whole entire spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us invite the Holy Spirit to come into this broadcast to have his way. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to say thank you for this another day. Father, I ask you to forgive me for my sins, our sins, oh God, and our faults, anything that we've said or done or thought about, Lord God, Lord, that was not pleasing to you. We ask your forgiveness, God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will come into this broadcast on tonight, that your Holy Spirit will just take over this broadcast, oh God, in the name of Jesus, so that we might be hearers of your word on tonight. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that this testimony that is coming forth, Lord God, from Michelle Bless, that somebody, Lord God, will hear this testimony and will be blessed, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, I just want to say thank you for it right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that whoever is in bondage on tonight, Lord God, whoever, Lord God, is being abused on tonight, Lord God, whoever, Lord God, needs deliverance and healing, oh God, that they will hear this broadcast, oh God, and come out of the bondage and come out of deliverance, come out of bondage, oh God, and come out of mental prison, Lord God, and just come out of whatever it is, Lord God, abuse, alcohol, drugs, Lord God, illicit sex, whatever it is, oh God, that they will be set free, Lord God, when they hear this message, oh God. Well, they listening to it tonight, Lord God, on July the 6th, 2012, or if they're listening to the archives, oh God, whatever the case may be, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that deliverance will take place, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, I ask, oh God, that you will just soften the stony heart right now, God, in Jesus' name, that it will hear what your word is saying, that it will hear, Lord God, the testimony that is coming forth, so they will know that you too, Lord God, that you can deliver them as well as they delivered, as you delivered Michelle, oh God, that they can be healed just like Michelle was healed, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just bless your name for it right now, God. Father, I thank you for it right now for their deliverance and their healing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, right now for setting free every person who's being set free, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you for it right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, oh God, hallelujah, for their salvation, oh God, and complete restoration, oh God, complete restoration, oh God, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. And Father, I say thank you for it right now. I say thank you for it right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus. Jesus said this, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Father, we're gathered together, Lord God, in this broadcast via the airwaves, Lord God, and we just thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind and rebuke every attack of the enemy right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we say thank you for the victory right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every person who has backslidden that they will come back to you because of the word, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for any person attempting to backslide, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that this broadcast would allow them to not backslide, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those that don't believe that you will even send them to this broadcast, oh God. The atheist, oh God, the Satan worshiper, Lord God, the unbeliever, that you will bring them to this broadcast and they will hear this mighty woman of God and this testimony, oh God, that they will know too that they can be delivered, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, we bind and rebuke deception, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Every person thinking already, oh, well, this is not going to be anything. I don't need this. I rebuke the spirit of deception right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And glory to God. I just thank you and praise you, Lord God, for deliverance, Lord God, wholeness, Lord God, healing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And Father, I give you praise and glory and honor for it right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, before we bring on our evangelist on tonight, we're just going to go and have one more song. Glory to God. And after that, we're going to bring on Michelle Bless. And I ask you, if you are on Facebook, if you can get your friends to come in and listen to this broadcast on tonight, if you have any relatives, anybody you know who needs to be delivered or set free on tonight from anything, if they could just tune into this broadcast on tonight, glory to God, and listen to this mighty woman of God. Post it on your page. Post it on your friend's page if you can, glory to God, so we can go ahead and get this thing started, because I believe in my soul that people are going to be delivered on tonight, glory to God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's not because we've spoken so much. We did speak a couple of times. And just from all those times that we spoke, glory to God. Hallelujah. I know, hallelujah, that somebody's going to get delivered on tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, or whenever they listen to this broadcast in the archives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I just want to just play this one song. We're going to play this song right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Bible declares that he has raised us up together and has made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, oh! Living on the top. See, I'm living the best life, and I'm living a blessed life. I am blessed. And not only that, y'all, but I'm telling you that I'm walking. I'm walking in the realm of faith. And I'm a living miracle. And I'm receiving the abundance. In the heavens.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Well, I thought I picked the wrong song, but hey, listening to that, the devil is defeated. And God is exalted. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I could just get up and dance off of that right there. Glory to God. The devil is defeated. Woo, glory to God. I don't, y'all probably say, why is she laughing? Because the devil is defeated. And when you hear this lady's testimony, this evangelist's testimony, you're going to see why this song fit right in with this word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to just get her in right now. Glory to God. And get this program started. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me get over here to this studio. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Evangelist Michelle Bellas.
Hello, my sister. How are you?
Praise the Lord. How you doing?
Praise the Lord. I'm over here shouting.
Yes.
I was shouting.
Yes.
God is good.
Yes, he is. I thought that was the wrong song, but guess what? It was the right song because the devil
that
is defeated.
That was a perfect song.
Yes, glory
yes,
to God.
He is. Yes, he is. The devil is a liar.
Yes, I am tickled.
Defeated.
Yes, I'm sitting here cracking up, and I'm trying to get it together, but guess what? That was right on time. So listen, I don't know that much about you other than what you told me, but I want you to just go ahead on. We do have until 7 o'clock. So
okay.
However God wants to use you, you go right ahead. I'm still trying to locate people and to ask them to join the broadcast because I know people who need to hear this. So go right ahead with the broadcast, and we welcome you, Evangelist Michelle Bless.
Thank you, my sister Teresa. Thank you for having me. Thank you for everyone who is listening. I just want to thank God and give him glory and give him praise and give him honor because he is worthy to be praised. And I just speak about the Lord, talk about the Lord, shout about the Lord wherever I am at because I am the same person that not so long ago that I was an atheist, a devil worshiper. I was serving the kingdom of hell. And today I serve the kingdom of heaven. I serve Jesus Christ, the
Hallelujah.
God that sits next to Abba Father, right-hand side of God in heaven, the one who came here on earth into flesh
Jesus.
And died for our sins, the same Jesus, the name that I didn't even want to hear about a long time ago, but today that I serve, and I can't get enough of the name, let alone I don't get enough of hearing it. I give all praises to him. And I am here to tell my testimony to people who are broken or who are holding on to secret or who feel like that they are so totally lost that there is no hope. But I'm here as a servant and vessel of God.
Hallelujah.
To tell you that there is hope and that God is real. And I am a living testimony and a living witness to that. And that is why I'm here to tell you my story. And
Hallelujah.
So it begins like this. At the age of 2 years old, and if you think about when you were a little girl or a little boy, at the age of two, some of us don't have memories at that young age. And the ones that do, they are normally happy memories. But for me, my memories was very dark, very cold, very miserable, very sad. And I remember everything that happened to me at the age of two. My memory from the age of 2 to 6 years old was a very sad time for me because my dad used to beat my mother and would beat my brothers and my sister. Well, not really my sister. My sister was a baby. So she really didn't really affect her as much. But for me and my other brothers and my mother, we were beaten, if not every day, excuse me, every other day. I would watch my dad beat my mother so bad to the point where sometimes she would lay in her own pool of blood. And she would crawl in her blood to the end of the room, and there would be an end table and there's a lamp and a Bible or a book from what I saw. And she would crawl and help herself or lift herself up to that table, and she would open the pages and she would say this word. She would say, oh God, forgive him, for he do not know what he has done. And I would ask my mother, who are you talking to? Because it would just be me and her in the room. She would say, I'm talking about your father, the one who loved you, the one who made us, the one who made this earth. I remember that as a little girl. But I said, if he is so good, why is he allowing Dad to hit on you and beat on you and beat me and beat my brothers? And she said, I'm too young to understand. And I told her, one thing I do understand, that this is not love. And if this is love, then I don't want to see hate. So I would cry out and say, I don't want to hear that name. I don't want to hear God. I don't want to hear about him. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I didn't want to hear about him. From the age of 2 to 6, I watched my father beat my mother and beat my siblings and beat me. Like I said, if it wasn't every day, it was every other day. When I got to be 6 years old, my grandfather took a liking to me and made me his girlfriend and made me do things with him that only a grown woman is supposed to know about. But I was 6 years old, and my grandfather did this to me from 6 to 12. So from home, the people that's supposed to protect me, I was not getting protection. And when we go visit my grandparents, my grandfather started messing with me. During that time of 6 to 12, my grandfather had indulged into the occult. And there are some people who might fringe up or might not want to hear about the dark side or hell or demons. And they'll say, well, that's not real, but I'm here to tell you that they are real. The kingdom of hell is real because God not only made us and everything that is on this earth, but he also made the demons that are out there, and he made hell. He made it for only Satan and his imps. But unfortunately, there are so many people who choose to serve him, so it is made for them too. But to make a long story short, my grandfather was in the occult. I'm talking about the black robes, the Ouija boards, the pentagrams, the candles, the robes, the drinking of blood, the whole nine yards. And if I would mention that, I would get hit in my mouth. And I was told that nobody would believe me, that nobody would believe the things that I saw and the things that I have heard. By the time I turned 12 years old, I got too old for my grandfather. He no longer wanted me sexually. So my uncles and my cousins stepped in, and they made me their girlfriend from the age of 12 to 16. And so between being sexually abused, I was mentally abused, I was emotionally abused, but I was severely physically abused by my dad. My dad would not only beat us with his fists, but he would beat us with the end of a gun butt or a broomstick or a board. Or sometimes he would grab us and throw us up against walls, slam our head down the floor against walls. I remember going back to when I was 2 years old, and I don't know, they had these onesies, you know, and my dad would grab me in the front of my onesie and would slam dunk me against the wall, and I would slide down against the wall. And I remember that was constantly happening to me, constantly. And again, my mother, what could she have done? Because he beat my mother. I will watch him knock my mother's teeth out of her mouth, let alone beat her so bad to where I was reading something in the chat room. But anyway, he would knock my mom's teeth out. He would beat her until blood come out of her mouth, come out of her nose. Half of the bones in my body and my brother's bones were broken. We had broken arms and black eyes and broken noses. And they didn't have places for a runaway, you know, for battered, or that was not in existence in my era. The police would call, they would say, they would just look, and my dad would say that she was, you know, messing up, and I'm the man of the house, and the police would just say, okay, and leave. It was just that simple. My dad would put so much fear in us that we were taught not to tell, and we did not tell, because he didn't say it in so many words, but it was like if you say anything, he would cause more harm to our mother than what he was already doing. And so we didn't say a word. And he would have to put makeup on us if we had outside bruises, like on our face. He would put, you know, he would tell my mom to put makeup on us, or long sleeves if we had bruises on our arms or pink, you know, legs, put pants on to cover the bruises. I remember one particular, I was the age of 9 years old, two different incidents during that time. One was what is called the cool down water. And what that is if I was bad, according to my dad, he would tell me to go upstairs and fill our tub with water. First let it run until it get cold before putting a little stopper in. We had some old-fashioned tubs. They would deep sink down, and you get to put the big plunger down in there to keep the water into the tub. And what happened, when the water got cold and I put the little stopper in there, then I would allow it to fill up to the rim. And then I would holler down to my dad and say, well, it's filled. And he would say, B, take your clothes off and stand into attention. And so I would take my clothes off and stand in attention in front of the tub. And then my dad would come upstairs to the bathroom, and he would say, now get in the tub. And then I would get in the tub. And he would take the top of my head and submerge me down in the water and hold me down. And he would dunk me in and out of the cold water. About, I don't know how so many times, I couldn't count. Oh, I lost count because I turned numb at that point. And then he would grab me by my feet and pick me up by my feet. And he would whip me with a switch. Mm. And he would whip me until that water turned red. And so that's just one incident. Another incident in my youth, I was around 9 also at that time, and we were not allowed to call my dad by his name. We had to call, we were not allowed to call him dad, period. We had to call him by his first name. And we were taught this as a young child. So I'm saying around 2 or 3, we had to call him by his name, which I will call him David. And by the time I was 9 years old, we had a neighborhood kid come and sit on our porch. And out of the blue, one of the kids was like, Michelle, why don't you call your dad? Why do you call him David? And I said, oh, I can call my dad anytime I want to. You know, it's like, even though we were so afraid of my dad, but the kids, I wasn't afraid of the kids, you know. But as soon as I said that, I can call my dad anytime, who pulls up in the driveway? My dad. And the kids look at me and say, now there he is. We dare you do it. We dare you. So my dad get out the car, and he walks towards the porch. And the kids were like, hey, Mr. Dave. He was like, oh, how y'all doing? And then he looked down at me. And as my dad was passing me, I said, hey, Dad. That's all I remember. When I woke up, I was laying on my back with a mouthful of blood and the butt of a shotgun, the end of it, in my mouth. My dad was sitting in a chair over me. I later found out by my mom, who witnessed it, and the kid, that my dad, while I was unconscious, that when he hit me, he beat me some more. And then he put a gun to my mouth and kept it there till I woke up. When I woke up, my dad said, B, why did you call me dad? Didn't I tell your MFASS? And I'm sorry, I need to say this to the audience. It's very explicit, but I'm not going. You're not going to hear me say a foul word, but I'm spelling it out because the Lord told me in order for you to understand where I was delivered from, you have to know where I came from. That this is what it is. My dad said to me, didn't I tell your MFASS not to ever call me dad? I said, yes, sir. And he said, if you ever call me dad again, I will blow your MF brains out. Do you understand that, B? I said, yes, sir. And he said, get up and go in there and tell your mama to wipe your mouth off and change your clothes. You don't ruin your dress. And when he said that to me, and I got up, in my mind, I'm like, oh, my God, I ruined my dress? I have blood all over the front of my dress because my dad bust me in my mouth. But that's just one of the incidents. I watched my father, again, beat us so bad that it got to the point where I sort of got used to it right around the time I got to be four. My dad had an after-hours joint in our house. People would go downstairs and buy plates for my mom or buy drinks. You know, they would gamble or whatever. And I remember being two, I was too little to reach the cup because the people would drink wherever they was drinking in that plastic cup. But they would giggle and they would laugh and they would fall out and sometimes hit their head against the tables or walls. And they would still laugh. And I'm like, in my mind, whatever that is in that cup, I want some because they are falling and hurting themselves. And, wow, when David hit me, I won't feel it if I can just reach that cup and drink some of that stuff that was in that cup. Well, I said that for 2 years, and by the time I got four, I was big enough to where I was able to do that. So at the age of four, my alcoholism began. I was drinking alcohol. I remember that I watched nothing but misery and sadness and horror in our house. We lived in fear. We were never allowed to tell. I never told my mother or my dad that my grandfather made me his girlfriend and made me do the most unspeakable things that I want you to imagine that a woman does to a man that I was taught and shown as a little girl at the age of six. Going to my grandparents' house was like going to King's Island. And so I felt like if I had told, that would be taken away. And that is so sad for a little girl to make a decision like that from one abuse to another. But I was told that no one would never believe me. I was told from my grandfather, I was told from my dad that nobody would believe me of the beatings that he'd done to me and my brothers and my mom. I was told from my uncles and my cousins that no one would believe me when they were messing with me. I graduated from school because I excelled in school. I was on an honor roll in school because school was like I can't describe. It was like, well, I was away from abuse. For the moments of the hour or two that we were in school, I was away from that abuse, and I enjoyed every part of school. I enjoyed it so much that I graduated early. They let me out of school in the beginning of the 11th grade. My childhood was taken away from me, so I was never allowed to be a little girl. When you see kids play with toys and little boys play with cars and little girls play with dolls, I don't know anything about that. I never was allowed anything like that. I never knew what it would be like to be a little girl. By the time I got to the 11th grade, I graduated early. I graduated early, let me out of school. So I volunteered at the Navy recruiting office. To whereas I ended up going into the military, and my mother, she sneaked and signed me in, and she took a beating for that. I went to the military at 16. For the first time, I exhaled when I was on a plane going to boot camp. I was away from dad. I was away from uncles. I was away from cousins. And I was away from granddad. and I was away from the occult. And I never told, and I made believe it didn't happen. By the time I turned 18 years old, after doing 2 years in the military, my commander put a Mickey in my pop, and he raped me. And he raped me more than once. And at that time when I got raped, I had a nervous breakdown because the floods of memory of childhood and teenage came back. I had a nervous breakdown so bad that they threw me out of the military like I was a piece of garbage. I came out of the military, and I went back to my old ways. There's a lot of things that I skipped over that I didn't share, but I used to sell drugs at the age of 14. I was in a gang. And when I came back, I was a zombie. I was numbed. I felt nothing. I felt nothing. And I wanted to get even. And what I mean by that is at this point, I felt like all men were evil and that all men were dogs. And I felt like I'm going to make them pay by getting whatever I can. But unbeknownst to me, I was hurting myself. But I didn't know this at this time. I went back and got back with my old people and started selling drugs and did some part-time modeling, and I was living a fast life. I got involved with men who, they were married men, and I was their mistress, and I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know that. All I knew is that if a man wanted to talk to me, if he couldn't fat in my pocket, if he couldn't buy me a car, he couldn't take me on a shopping spree, he couldn't talk to me. And it was just that simple. It was about what did you have to offer. I am here on this show to tell you the truth and to set some people free.
Amen.
That is what I'm here for. So it is raw and uncut. And that's what the Lord told me to do. I didn't know that when I gave my body to a man and I was using them, that I was only using myself. I sold so much drugs and made so much money that I became my best customer. What I mean by that is, that I was doing my own product. I went from living, by the time in the 80s, an $80,000 house was the thing back then. And that's what I lived in at that time. I went from living in a house with the picket fence and the dog and the Mercedes Benz and having property and having jewelry and diamonds and all that. I went from that to being a top call girl to being a $20 trick to sleeping in abandoned buildings, sleeping under bridges, sleeping on park benches, eating out of garbage dumpsters. I tried to commit suicide that I stopped counting after 30-something times. Twice I was brought back alive. I'm telling you the story of darkness because I'm going to end it with light. At 60-something pounds, I weighed 60-something pounds. 60-something pounds. 15 years ago. Before I tell you about that story of when I weighed 60-something pounds 15 years ago when I came to get help, which I didn't know that's what I was doing, I got to take you back just a little bit. I met the Lord in 1997, and I was on fire for God. I accepted salvation, but I was not healed. And I was not delivered. Because no one ever asked me what was wrong with me. No one ever asked me what was inside that hurted me. See, that little girl that was beaten, that was molested, that was raped, that was used, and that teenager and that young adult, it never went away. I never healed. I'm saying that when you go into the church, when broken vessels come in, when the lost, when the throwaways, when the outcasts, when they come in to seek God, and we help them take salvation, you got to understand that they are broken for a reason. I'm sharing out here, I want whoever's listening to me that is broken, that has secrets, if you was an alcoholic, if you was a prostitute, if you was a homeless bagger, vagabond, if you ate out of garbage cans, if I did all that. If you was on drugs, I snorted cocaine, I smoked it crack, I shot heroin, I did all that. I was nothing. I felt nothing. I was nothing in my eyes. I was so far gone that it didn't even matter. Life didn't matter to me. I was talked about and I was spit on. I came in the church. I got saved, but I was still talked about. Why is this happening to me? I said. When people say they love Jesus, but no one's helping me. No one asked me what was wrong with me. No one asked me why I was hurting. I'm not talking about all churches. I'm not talking about all Christians now, because I am a servant of God. And there are many who are out here serving the Lord to help the less fortunate. But I'm saying if there are some people that will hold on to things because they feel like they'll be talked about or they'll be looked down at. And that happens sometimes. But I'm here to tell you that God is real and that you can't hold on to your secrets or any type of abuse or even act like it didn't happen and you put something in its place. I did that. And now I'm going to tell you another part of a story when I say I did that and the end result of that. I got in the church. I was on fire. Reading the word, but I'm hurting inside. That little girl inside kept trying to come out of me. I didn't realize that when you suffer a trauma, you basically stop right there. Your body will keep growing, but your mind is still there as that little girl or little boy, whatever you suffer, whatever traumatized you.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened for me is I was still seeking love in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like all these men and women that were married or they were engaged, they were going together in a church. I'm like, oh, well, if I can meet a Christian man, then he'll love me and he'll treat me right because he loves Jesus. Well, you got to test the spirit because everybody that say Jesus don't mean they serve Jesus.
That's right.
I learned that the hard way. Don't make me shout up in here in this chat.
Go
I'm
right
telling
in.
You. I don't stood up. I'm moving around. I can't help it. The Holy Spirit is all over me, and I thank you, Jesus. So what happened was this man came. I'm a newbie in Christ. This man came. He was saying all the good stuff, but I was so busy looking at what he was doing instead of testing his spirit because he was a devil in angel's clothing. He whined and dined me and wooed me and took me to do the finer things in life. And I mean the whole nine yards for a whole year. I was warned by church members. This is 7 years ago after getting saved. I was warned that it's not your husband. Do not marry him. And I said, you're just jealous. God brought this man to me. I never asked God, was he my husband? Because I was scared to hear the answer.
Right.
I'm going to keep it real. See, I'm talking to the ones who are lost, and I'm talking to the ones who are saved.
Mm-hmm.
I done experienced both sides. I done been to both sides. Make a long story short, this man talked me into marrying him after dating a year. He bought me a house out of state. Just at the time, I was living in Ohio. And he took me to a different state. but we're on a honeymoon first. We came back from the honeymoon that Friday. I went into the kitchen of his house. First, he showed me around his house. I went to the kitchen of his house. He called my name, Michelle. I turned around. That's all I remember. I woke up. I was butt naked, and I felt like I was beaten in every part of my being. This man, he had beat me while I was unconscious.
My
and
God.
And he kept me hostage for 48 hours. He beat me and raped me and choked me and beat me and raped me and choked me over and over and over again nonstop for 48 hours.
Jesus.
And during all this time, my childhood came back. My teenage years came back. All the rapes came back. And I'm like, but I'm serving God now. I thought he was a servant of God. What is going on? Why is this happening to me again? What's happening? What's going on? This man raped me in every possible way that you can think of. That was vicious and horrible and unthinkable. He would take me in different rooms of the house by my neck and choke me until I am unconscious. And I wake up and be in a different room. The second 24-hour day, it was winding down. He had threw me in a bathtub after raping me. I had a fractured jaw. He urinated all over me. And after doing that, he made me open my mouth and made me drink. I'm sharing the raw and uncut because I don't want anyone to have to endure anything like that. You're talking about being treated the lowest of low of the animal. After he did that, he grabbed me by my head and drug me back in the living room. And he got back on top of me, raping me again. And I called out the name of Jesus. That man hit me in my mouth so hard that my mouth formed a puddle of blood. And I was choking on the blood. I turned my head and I heard the Holy Spirit said, talk to me in your mind. Don't say my name. See, the Lord gave me, I want you to stay focused on what I just said. I'm going to go back just for a quick second. I'm going to come back to that scene. But I have what I now know is called the gift of discernment. Because when I was a little girl, I used to see, now that I know what it is, demons. I didn't know what they were. I looked at them as my friends. I'm being honest. Because I had no friends. So these beings would talk to me. And I was not afraid. So going back to when my ex-husband was beating me and raping me, I saw in the spiritual realm these scales fall off my eyes. And when I looked at him, I no longer saw him. I saw a queen. And I'm in my mind, oh, my God. Why didn't I see this before now? Why couldn't I see that when I first met this man? But see, the Lord said he wants us to come to him with all things. He said, put no man, no woman, no child, no image before him, for he is a jealous God. Now, understand, if you were following the story, I got saved. I am a newbie. I am new to this walk. But what happened was I didn't trust God with my pain. See, you got to come to a whole completion of wholeness to being healed. I would make believe that the things that happened to me didn't happen. And just threw myself into God's work and act like I wasn't molested and raped as a child. Or act like I wasn't beaten or whatever it was. But it's only so long you can hold that stuff in. It was not only physically keep you alive, but it was spiritually eat your life. But I cried out to God in my mind as this man had me on my back raping me with a mouthful of blood. And when I turn my head to the side, I'm spitting the blood up and spitting it out of my mouth so I cannot choke to death. And he said to me, don't you say the name of Jesus. Don't you say it out your mouth, you beast. And I said, God, please help me. And when I said that, the man got off of me and he went and did something. He went to some other part of the house just for a few minutes. But that gave me that time to talk to God. I said, God, please forgive me. But see, what happened was, what came back to my mind was the fact of the women of God that he sent to warn me not to even marry him. I'm hearing a lot of static in the phone, so I hope everybody can hear me talk. Can you hear me, Sister Teresa?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me for not listening to those women that you had sent me. Forgive me for me not asking you, was this my husband? Because the Lord immediately said to me, that the Holy Spirit, because if you did ask me, I would have told you that he was my husband. I said, God, if you give me another chance and get out of this situation, I will serve you. And he told me, I will get you out of the situation, but you have to go back to something else. And that's where I was left at the time. So anyway, he's gone in some part of the room, and I got up, and I grabbed the clothes that was something was laying over there, shirt or something, and I just grabbed it and got out the door. When I got out the door, it was early in the morning. It wasn't a car in sight. The only thing was outside was a postman by the U.S. Postal. And I'm bleeding from head to toe, and I'm running to this man, asking, screaming, "Help me! My husband, I'm beaten." He said, "Go over there." He pointed, and it was like some sort of park, and then but there was a police station right there. And there was no way I was going to make it. I barely made it out of the house. I mean, I couldn't move. I said, would you please call the police or let me in your car? This truck helped me. And as I said, I look up, here comes my 6'5", ex-football player husband. running across the street. And he grabbed me and threw me over his back. This is what he told me. He took me back in the house. Threw me back on the floor.
Uh-oh. The call was dropped. The call was dropped. Can you guys still hear in the chat room? Somebody answer me. If you can still hear in the chat room. Okay, she's back. She's back. Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, the devil is a liar. See, when you're speaking about the Lord, you know, the devil, he works on airwaves. So we're going to rebuke the devourer right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We're not giving him no glory. I'm just telling what's going on, but God is going to get the end result. But anyway, I'm glad that I was able to get back on. So in the meantime, when he brought me back in the house, and I'm on the floor, he's beating and raping me, and then I pass out. And it seemed like for hours, I woke up. And I remember when I woke up, I'm laying in the living room by the door to go out the house. And there's our kitchen. And he had his back to me. And I looked over there, and I see he has some garbage bags, and he has knives on top of the garbage bag, of each garbage bag. I'm like, telling myself, I'm looking like, I'm blinking, I can't move. I'm like, what is he doing? And he's talking to himself. And I'm hearing this demon in him. He was like, yeah, I'm going to cut this B-I-T-C-H and body parts, put it in these different bags, and I'm just going to throw her body in the garbage dumpster. I'm just going to take it to different garbage dumpsters. And I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, Jesus, please help me. And I heard the Lord said, get up. And I'm like, I can't get up. But I heard the Lord say, get up. And some people, what you're about to hear, you might not believe it, but it doesn't matter because I know what happened and I know it's real. I see these two angels, spiritual angels. They helped me get up. They took me to their door. He didn't hear a sound. When I got out the door this time, the second time, there was a street full of cars and full of people. And I ran and I fell in the middle of the street. And by this time, there was a fire truck coming down and a different ambulance, some sort of ambulance van or something was coming down. And people were like, oh, my God, what happened? But he come out the door again. And he come towards me. He's trying to lift me up. And he could not get me off the ground because I know the Lord intervened. It was only that intervention, you know, for the fire truck to come closer to see what was going on. And finally, by the time they got there, they jumped off the truck and they said, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? Let that woman go. That's when he was able to grab me up again and he was dragging me. I mean, with all these people, he was dragging me, and I'm like, God, why did you let me get away again? And he's taking me back. He's going to kill me. To make a long story short, they were following him. But he got me in the house and locked the door, and he threw me against the wall, and I hit the floor head first. And I'm like, I'm dead. I'm dead. But it was just a few seconds, and then there was a bang on the door. This is the so-and-so police department. You got 5 seconds to open this door or we're going to gas it down. We know that a woman was dragged by her hair into this property. You got 5 seconds to open this door. He opened the door. They ran towards me and two police officers ran towards him. And they put one handcuff on him, and then he pushed him and ran out the door. They just ran out the door trying to get him. And in the meantime, they got ambulance. They're picking me up, putting me on the stretcher. They took me to the hospital. They had guards, police officers by my door. We found out that he escaped the police, and they were looking for him. They didn't want to take no chance of him coming to, you know, to kill me off or whatever. I was in the hospital for 30 days. On the 15th day of me being in the hospital, he turned himself in.
Thank you, Lord.
I had 76 injuries. They took 76 pictures of 76 injuries. I went from the safe house to a woman. I mean, from the hospital to a safe house, from a batter shelter. And from that point, I was transported back and forth to court, where I had to look at my abuse. Afterwards, I was released, and they helped prepare and help me get back home. Back to Ohio. That was 7 years ago. When I got back to Ohio, I went and stayed with several different people's houses, sleeping on their couch, bad, depressed. It's a shame to call church members. I mean, the ones I was close to, let them know what happened to me. They haven't heard from me. But I heard the Lord told me. He wrote me a million nights while I was down that couch. He said, I am your husband. And I said, good Lord, because I don't want a man. That was the first thing that came out of my mouth. Like, at this point, I didn't even want a man. I don't even want to look at one, you know. He said, your husband is not in your church, because he was telling me I had to go back to my church. He said, I did not want to go back. Because I was the same, but he said, you go back. He said, your husband is not there, and your husband is not in. Focus on me. My Father God put me in front. He renewed to be restored and to be refined. First of all, I wasn't ready for no husband because I didn't have no love to give to a man because I didn't have no love for myself. I never experienced love. I never been in love. My thwarted mind of what love was if a man buy you clothes, buy you a house, buy you a car, give you credit cards, that was love. That's a lie from the pit of hell. So Jesus taught me about love. First, to love myself. I went to the school of hard knocks, and it was Jesus College 101. And I was there for over 4 years. Matter of fact, 5. I had to write down what I went through beginning of when I was 2 years old. I had to write it down. I had to talk about what I endured. I had to go through different stages of my childhood. So some people, they might go through one thing or two things, but I know God kept me because I went through multiples. There was never no happiness to me. I suffered one trauma from another. But it took me 5 years. But today, I am healed.
Hallelujah.
I am whole.
Hallelujah.
I am delivered.
Hallelujah.
I have been set free.
Yes.
I have unspeakable peace. See, right now, we're going to bring Jesus up in here now. Yes. He's about to get all the glory.
Hallelujah.
He gets all the honor. He gets all the praise because the Lord has healed me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
He has delivered me.
Hallelujah.
I had so many open doors, guys. I had, you're talking about different demons and witches and warlocks. Oh, my
Jesus.
God. On my mother's side, 22 sisters and brothers, they're from the island. My grandfather was a voodoo priest. On my dad's side was witches and warlocks. Tell me where was any hope for me? I was sold into slavery. I was promised at an early age from my mother's side, and no one knew that but my mother's siblings who tried to tear her when her father died when she was pregnant with me. Do not go to the funeral. But my mother went to the funeral because, now I'm going to tell you some other parts of the story. My grandfather, who was a voodoo priest, he was having sex with his kids, except my mother. Couldn't get to her. He couldn't get to her. So we were talking about incest and devil worshiping and drinking the blood and all that bull crap, you know. I was marked for the devil. I didn't know that. But now my foot is on the devil's neck. No
Hallelujah.
Weapon, no weapon formed against me or my family shall prosper.
Hallelujah.
He
Glory
has no
God.
Authority and no power. We have authority and power over the kingdom of hell. You do not have to stay in depression. You do not have to stay in sadness. You do not have to stay in misery. Those are all demonic activities from the kingdom of hell. When I surrendered to the Lord, he told me to stand still and know that he is God. And he put a hedge of protection over me. And I had to, like I said, relive what I endured because I never cried. I just put it away as if it never happened.
Lord, have mercy.
But in order for you to get healed, you have to talk about what you endured, my sisters and brothers. You have to allow yourself to feel, but know that you are not alone.
Not alone.
I hope my story has let you know that you are not by yourself. But you don't have to hold on to the secret because God is a deliverer. He is a healer.
Hallelujah.
God is a suddenly God. He is an on-time God. He is a right now God. He is a way maker God. He is a God that makes a way out of no way. He
Hallelujah.
Is the creator of all creation. He is the great I am, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And
Hallelujah.
I have been promoted from soldier to lieutenant to general in God's holy army.
Hallelujah, glory,
because
hallelujah.
As I tell my story, which is so tragic and so sad. I have to end it with Jesus and give him glory. You have to believe now that God is real. I was an atheist. I was a devil worshiper, and he snatched me from the pit of hell.
Hallelujah.
And took
glory.
Me away from Satan. Satan
Hallelujah.
And his imps have no authority, none
Hallelujah.
Whatsoever.
Bless
God
you.
Is the creator of all creation, and he made everything in this earth, including them things.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
But you got control over that.
Hallelujah.
You got control over the kingdom of hell. You do not have to tolerate depression. You don't have to tolerate being miserable or sad. You don't have to hold on to that pain. You have control of what you allow in your space.
Yes, yes, yes.
Rebuke the power. Rebuke him. In the name of Jesus and in the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
So now I'm going to take a break. So if anyone want to ask me any questions, Sister Teresa, or if you yourself.
Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you something.
I can keep going.
I just want to give you a hand clap right there. Let me tell you something.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I don't know why I keep doing this laughing, but let me tell you something. You think you've been through some stuff until you hear somebody else's testimony.
My God.
Something. I thought I went through some stuff because, like you, I was abused at a young age, but not nearly like you were, okay? I was abused, though. I've been raped in my life. I've been molested. I've been abused physically in the foster homes. I've been through all of that stuff. But when I listened to your story, what I went through was a walk in the park. How in the world is it that you are able to even talk about Jesus now? How is it being an atheist that you were, a devil worshiper, that you were, they marked you, the worshipers, the devil worshipers marked you. And they were determined to have you. I mean, what process did you have to go through, literally, seriously, because somebody is going to hear this? And what process did you have to go through to get from under the authority of the devil? Like, what happened? Because you should have been straight out of your mind, like, going.
Oh, absolutely. That is the reason why I tell my story so raw. Because at first, I need for people to understand who I was serving, okay? And that ain't something you can just walk away from by yourself. When the Lord told me, because I didn't want to hear his name, and I remember when I was going to commit suicide, because I was gone. And this lady came out of her church, and she said, because I was walking up the street with some crutches, and I had two black eyes, so I had on some sunglasses. I had a broken ankle, you know. And so I'm limping up the street, and she goes, "Hey, sister, why don't you let me come over there? You come to me and let me pray on that ankle." And I said, "Prayer ain't going to help me. Prayer would not help me." Why did I say that to a Christian? Let me tell you something. I was a devil worshiper then, right? I'm taking you all the way back when I didn't even serve God. I had hatred for him. And this woman said when she looked at me, she saw nothing but demonic activities around me. But when I said to her that prayer don't work, she forgot about the fear. And she said, "That's a lie. Prayer do work." And started talking in these foreign languages and put her hand on me. And that was the beginning. When I first got saved, I was being abused all over again. In the demonic world. Like I said, when you talk about the demons, some people might not want to believe that, but I have to tell you the truth. I was spiritually being raped by demons. I was being beaten and attacked by demons after I got saved. After I got saved from God. Because where I got saved at, not the church where I'm at today, but the first church I went to, well, they didn't let me go, and didn't nobody deliver me. And I learned all this about deliverance and healing later on. So in the beginning, being a newcomer and in the walk of Christ, even though I accepted Jesus and the salvation, it didn't It didn't take away the pain, and it didn't automatically shut them doors, and them demons were still there. And they would attack me at night when they would tell me to denounce Jesus. And I'm like, I am not denouncing that name. I would not denounce. So I went through 2 years of torment from 1997 to 1999. In 1999, God led me to a five-fold ministry church. We're talking about a church that put Satan and his imps up under our foot.
Jesus, hallelujah.
That they recognize the demonic activity. They don't have to go all in the open and showboat and say, all loud to get attention. No. The bishop of this church knew what was going on because the Holy Spirit told him that I was coming. Again, you might not believe what I'm telling you, but I'm telling you it is so. I walked in this church and this man was preaching. And he walked off the pulpit. But before he walked off the pulpit, he put oil on his hand, and rubbed his hand together, walked straight down to me. I closed my eyes. That's all I remember. But when I came to, I felt peace for the first time after 2 years of being saved. And what I mean by peace, I was not under attack. I did not feel them demons no longer around me. And that's what made me more intrigued of this church. Wow, because the first church didn't do that. I came back to the church the following Sunday, and this bishop came up to me in private, and you know what he said to me? He said, them demons are not attacking you anymore at night, are they? And I lost it, because that was my secret. How did he know that? Because he has a relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him to save this lost soul who was me at that time. So I came into that church and stayed there, not for the people, but for the word. And I went from being a newbie to a child, from a newbie to a baby to a child to an adult to a mature Christian today.
Hallelujah.
I dissect and marinate the word of God. You denounce Jesus, and then the next, if you have, let me tell you something, depression, rape, molestation, all types of abuse are demonic demons.
Yes, they are.
Your doors have to be shut. You have to denounce it. When you hold on to your pain, it allows the demons to stay where
That's
they
right.
are, which is with you.
Go ahead,
you
now.
You can be set free by letting go.
Yes.
But not by yourself. You don't have to do this by yourself. But you can denounce demons. I mean, Satan. You can say, if, for example, I'm going to use me. When my grandfather made me his girlfriend from 6 to 12, made me do things to him that only a grown woman's supposed to know about, not a little girl. I was being beaten at home, and he knew that my dad was beating us. And yet he took me like a woman, and I was a little girl. I looked up for him to as a protector. So I went from bitterness to hatred to resentment. And I was angry. And I was told, you got to let go of that anger. First, go back in time. I had to go back in time. And I had to go back to when all those things was happening to me. And I started crying because I had put those feelings aside.
Yes.
But the Lord put this woman to help me, and she said, it's time for you to let go of that pain. First, you have to forgive yourself because I blame me as if it was my fault.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you.
How can you say, if you are a child, and whoever's listening, I need you to hear me. If you were a child and you were abused, that is whether it is mental, physical, or emotional. If you were a teenager or an adult and you were abused, taken advantage of, I'm here to tell you it was not your fault.
That's right. That's right.
Starting right now. No longer blame yourself. It is not your fault.
So hallelujah.
First, you got to forgive you. That's
Jesus.
The first step.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And then once you forgive yourself, because you're going to cry this, because when the lady says, stop blaming yourself, it's not your fault. And finally I said, it is not my fault. And I cried out, it is not my fault.
Yes, yes,
and then
yes.
She said, now say out loud that your grandfather hurt you. Yes, he hurt me. It hurt. It was painful. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to take that pain away.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, the angels come down and they will hold on to you and take that pain away.
Jesus.
But you have to allow yourself to go through that motion. You have to allow yourself to go back.
Yes, 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 yes,
I'm
yes.
I'm going to tell you what happened, whew. What works, what had worked for me. I had to write that thing down. I had to
yes.
talk about it. I had to read it out loud. Yes, I was raped as a little girl. Yes, my father beat me. Yes, my grandfather raped me. Yes, my uncles raped me. Yes, I got raped in the military. Yes, I came out and had a nervous breakdown. Yes, and I fell into drugs and prostitution. Then I got raped again. I mean, and on and on and on. I had all these things going on. Today, I go to psych wards. You know why I go to minister in psych wards? Because there are people that went through one thing and the devil got their mind.
Yeah.
But the devil is a liar.
Yes.
You can bind the demons right now in the name of Jesus. Bind them in the heavenly realms if you bind them here on earth. And command the angels to come and chain them right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name
of Jesus. And send them back to hell.
My. Jesus.
And that they cannot come back out until the day Jesus comes back for us. And they cannot assign another demon in his place. I am a warrior.
Another one in his place.
And when I bind, that's what you got to do. That's what you have to do. The name of my book is called Out of the Darkness, The Michelle Bless Story. It is the first book of three. My book is at iUniverse.com or Amazon.com. or BarnesandNobles.com. For more information, you can go to my website, which is OutOfDarknessMinistry.com. Or feel free to email me at OutOfTheDarknessMinistry@Yahoo.com.
You know
you
what?
You do not have to hold on to your pain.
Yeah, you do not. Let me tell you something. Woof! I need to meet you in person, but let me tell you something. You said, and I thank God, I really thank God, because you have to admit that hurt is there for God to
yes.
heal you. You got to admit it. And I'm telling you, I did a broadcast a few weeks ago where I was talking to the people and I was trying to tell them the same thing, that you got to admit that that pain is there. And what's happening, Michelle, is that people are trying to get, they're trying to hide, like you said, they're trying to cover up that hurt. Because they don't want nobody to know. They don't want nobody to hear that. And that's a trick of the enemy, who would want you to keep that thing hidden so that you don't get delivered. He wants you to keep that
Absolutely.
Thing pressed down so that you don't get healed, so that you don't come out and be who God really wants you to be. And I'm saying this with authority because I went through it. And as long as the devil had me keeping this stuff hidden or had me telling half-truths about what happened instead of telling the whole truth, I couldn't get my deliverance, Michelle. I couldn't get my deliverance until I decided that I wanted to tell the truth, because I had had enough. I had had enough of those secret beatdowns from the devil. I had had enough
Come
of
on.
Satan. Every time you turn around, he was secretly kicking my butt, and I didn't have nobody around to help me. Nobody knew what was going on. It was a secret, and I wasn't telling nobody, and I wasn't getting my healing, and I was just getting worse and worse. And just like you, I was going to church every time the church doors was open, but nobody could help me. But it wasn't until I began to tell the truth and say, God, I can't take this no more. God, I've been lying all of this time by keeping this thing a secret. I don't care who knows right now. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered, God. And when I began
Come
to
on.
Say that, let me tell you something. All that pain from my past came up, and I screamed. A blood-curdling scream came from my belly. I tell you, it hurt. I felt like I was in labor again. My body was cramping up, and I was just screaming to the top of my lungs. And it was just the Holy Ghost and me in that bedroom. It wasn't nobody, but it was the Holy Ghost and me in that room. And he was doing a Holy Ghost surgery on me in that room. So I know what you're talking about. I know you're not lying. I know you're telling the truth. And somebody else needs to hear this because somebody else needs to be delivered. I'm trying to tell you, God will do it if you want to be delivered. God will deliver you. You got two women on this phone right now who God has delivered. I'm telling you. If you don't
Hallelujah.
Know
and let me say, and let me say this.
Glory to God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And I want to say this to some sisters and brothers that are in Christ or even the ones that's in the world. I also want to say this. I understand if you do share a little bit of your pain and then you look up and find out that they don't told some other people and they're talking about you. And that's what makes the hurt worse. I've been there too. It's like, how can you say you love the Lord and you talking about me when you're supposed to help me? See, God came for the sick.
Yes, he did.
A church is supposed to be a place for people to walk in and we're supposed to embrace them.
Yes.
But instead, some people are ran off, or you make them stumble.
Because
you know,
they don't know nothing.
Because you're putting them down. Next time a person walk in your church, if a woman walk in there with a tight skirt on, or if a man walk in there with a tight pants on, don't say, that is too tight, and I know they know it. Instead, find out why they dressing like that. Some people, when they hurt on the inside, they do different things on the outside.
Yes.
To protect
yes.
To protect themselves.
Mm.
They are hurting. Women or men, if they promiscuous, because they've been abused.
Yes. Tell the story.
And they don't know. And we don't know no other way if you ain't got God in you.
You better talk about
it. You don't know no better. I'm preaching now. So I go to the highways and byways. I go to places that some people don't ordinarily go. I go straight to the streets and I grab onto these people. I go to women prisons and I go to juvenile systems with them young girls that are locked up under 18. They ain't even went to the adult prison yet. I come and reach. I reach a 9-year-old. I won't say the name, but was shooting heroin. Because her father and her mother put her on it at 6 because they were sexing her off for drugs. So by the time she was 9, she was in and out of trouble. And the first thing they would say, stop acting bad. Do you ever ask a person why they're acting bad? There are hurting people. My heart cries out for hurting people because I was a broken vessel. God took this broken soul, which is me. I was so broken, so bent over, so thrown away, so outcast, so talked about. But God, he made me a queen and a princess today. I'm an heir to the throne and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I have learned to love myself.
Thank you, Jesus. I walk
with my head up high.
Thank you, Jesus. My goal
to the day I die is to go reach other broken souls.
Yes, Jesus.
To let them know that they are not alone.
Yes.
God, I was left for dead. I was unrecognizable. But if you look at me today, you won't see a scar or residue. And God has restored, and he will restore you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So we are here. If you are, and I'm going to say this for any Christian or anyone, it ain't got to be a Christian, anyone who serves the Lord and claim his name, I hope while you are here listening to my story that you will, after this, when you see a broken vessel, a lost soul, if you're driving past and you see one sitting on a park bench or sitting on a corner, park your car and get out and go over there and say, how you doing?
Jesus.
Do you know Jesus loves you? That's what I do every day. I make it my business to encourage somebody.
Yes, do that.
Never know who God will bring to you.
Yes.
Make yourself available for the Lord.
Yes.
Be a doer of the word, not just a seer or a sayer.
Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God is real.
Look,
God is real.
Yes,
and
he is.
That is why I'm on fire for Jesus today, even though I've been an evangelist now for over 14 years. But he brought me from the pit of hell. Satan is real, and he snatched me. I used to serve him, but I serve Jesus Christ today.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is real, and he is the creator of all creation.
Hallelujah.
And he will, if you surrender to him, God will heal you.
Yes,
he will set you free.
Yes, he
it
will.
It is not too late.
It's not too late.
I got to tell you, it is not too late. I'm 51 years old, and I don't look like it, and I thank God for that because it's all because of him. And for the first time of me experiencing love was last year when I married my new husband. God brought me a man of God to show me what love is all about in a human capacity because the Lord has prepared me for my husband that I am with today. See,
thank
God said he that find a good wife, not the wife that find a good man. So my sister, don't go out there looking for no husband.
You better
God will
it.
Bring him to you. First,
let's
you commit yourself to the Lord and let the Lord be your husband.
Yes.
He will clean you up like he cleaned me up. He will clean you up and he will restore and renew and refine you. And my brothers who are out there who is seeking a woman, Let the Lord prepare you by first you having a building a relationship with God and get into his word and dissect his word. Read it, marinate it, eat it up, and dissect it. And you're going to look up and you're going to see who God has for you.
Amen.
But let God do it. See, Jesus said, I am a jealous God. Put no man, no woman, no child, no animal, no image before me. I'm telling you, and I'm a living witness, if you put God first in all things, he will show out in your life.
Yes, he will now. Yes, he will.
He will give you unspeakable peace and unspeakable joy.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, I experienced peace in my life, and it has been the past 7 years. It could have been longer if I would have not held on to my pain when the Lord wanted me to deal with it.
Right.
But that's okay. That's okay that I did. But I'm telling you, for the ones who are holding on to it, I did it for you. Don't hold on to it any longer. It is time to let it go with Jesus. You don't have
Amen.
To do it by yourself.
There's a caller on the line. I don't know if they want to say anything because they didn't press the 1, area code 330. If you have any questions for our guest, author Michelle Bless, would you please press the 1 and we will get you on the line. We did have another caller who was holding on the line, but they hung up, so maybe they'll call back. But if anybody's in the chat room, if you'd like to get on the line to speak with Michelle Bless, please call 323-693-3054. Area code 323-693-3054. I went from laughing to crying because I could just feel the pain. I could feel the pain of somebody else going through that, and my heart is just broken. It's just aching for the ones who are still in hiding, Michelle. The ones who are still, you know, out there trying to cover it up. But because, and I'm so glad that I met you, and I don't even remember how we met, but I'm glad that we met, and that I have somebody who
I remember. Let me intercede. I gotta tell the whole radio station this, and all the listeners. I'm gonna tell you how we met. See, spirit recognize spirit, and when you have God in you, you can recognize God in someone else, and you can also recognize if it ain't God.
Yes.
This woman of God, you know, I called her. She left her number, and I called her. And while we were just talking on the phone and she had me on hold, I'm listening to her ministering to a woman who was in need of food. And she gave the woman something what she had at that moment, then told the lady, come back in a couple of hours, and I got some money for you. So I spoke and said, hey, I want to give into that ministry right then and there. Because anytime a person is helping another in need, that's where I want to be. Because I'm here to help a person in need. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be servants of the Lord. We're supposed to not just sit in the church and just continue to get fed the bread, the milk, and then don't do nothing with it. God gave us all that so we can go out here and be a witness. There are so many hurting people out here, so many hurting people. And the Lord allowed me to speak of my story so raw because I want you to know that I'm for real. I need for people to know what I went through.
And it's working.
So they can
it's
understand
working.
Why I shout the way I shout.
Yes.
Praise the way I praise. Worship the way I worship. Because I ain't confused about this. I know Jesus is real.
Hallelujah.
Did no man bring him to me, and can't no man take him away. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can you look at
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, I'm trying not to shout right here.
You know what?
So
look in the chat room.
Out there.
Look at the comment in the chat room, Michelle.
Wow, I see. Yeah,
look
that's
at
awesome.
The comment. You see that where it says 330?
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I told you somebody was going to get blessed. Somebody was going to get this tonight. I'm telling you. And let me just
play
this song.
I am so happy.
Let me play this song real quick. And somebody might not like this, but I'm going to play this. It's by, I don't know if y'all ever saw the movie with Beyonce in it. He Still Loves Me. What is it called? I can't think of it, but this song.
I can't think of it, but go ahead and play it. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
I'm finally here. I just wanna testify, make it crystal clear. See, I've been picked out to be picked on. Talked about out my friend's mouth. I've been beat down till he turned my life around. Seems like I always fall short of being worthy. I ain't good enough, but he still loves me. The spotlight ain't shining on me.
No.
I ain't good enough, but he still loves me. Love me.
I used to wake up some days and wish I'd stay asleep. Cause I went to bed on top of the world. Today the world's on top of me. Now everybody's got opinions.
They
share. I ain't been in my position.
They don't care.
That breaks my heart.
What they say about you?
I always fall short of being worthy.
No, I'm never.
y'all wanted to play that song, because sometimes we feel like we're not good enough. We feel like we're not worthy, but we are worthy. God thought enough about us to send his only begotten son, Jesus. And if God could do that for us, that means that we are worthy. We are worthy. We are worthy to be healed. We are worthy to be delivered. Yes, we are. The devil is a liar when he says that we're not. But glory to God. I thank God for every person who is going to be healed from this one tonight. But, Michelle, I got to play this one for me and you.
All right.
I got to play this one for me and you.
Amen.
You have given me everything I needed according to your riches, and the plans set for my life, they are a blessing, not for curses. So I'll render unto you all of the glory you are due.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo, that's for you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I can't hold it. You don't know. See, that falls right into line with what was happening tonight. You don't know. You said, I want to tell you this so you can understand my praise, because you don't really know. But I done told you now. You understand, hallelujah, because God has truly delivered, and set free. Yes, he has. Glory to God.
Yes,
the
yes,
Son has
yes.
set free is free indeed. Glory to God. And once God sets you free, honey child, don't open up the door and go back into bondage. Don't do it. Listen, you got two women on the phone that have been delivered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And we can tell you, hallelujah, hallelujah. We can tell you. We're not telling you something we heard. We're telling you something that we know.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Not listening to somebody else's story. This is something that we lived. We walked this thing. This thing we had to deal with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we get ready to pray. Michelle, we're going to pray. And you know what? I got a cramp in my foot. Oh, Lord. The devil is a liar. Oh, I got a cramp.
Yes, he
in my
is.
Woo, Jesus. Anyway, we're going to pray because we just got a request for prayer. And we're going to pray.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what? We're going to pray. We're going to pray because we've been through it. We understand that sometimes, you know, when you haven't gotten your full deliverance, the enemy wants to keep bringing the same crap up over and over again. He wants to keep throwing stuff in your face, and he wants to keep making you
want
this. But guess what, woman of God? Tonight you're going to be delivered. I believe, God, I believe this was a setup. I believe this was a setup.
Hallelujah.
Because the enemy was trying not to make this thing happen. I had somebody ask me to do something else on tonight, and I said, no, I got to make this broadcast happen. But it was the Holy Ghost. It wasn't me, because my flesh wanted to go and do something else. But the Holy Ghost, did we plan this? No, we did this afternoon. This is when we planned this broadcast. Glory to God. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. But we're going to pray for you, woman of God. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for you, woman of God, because the woman of God says she's tired of going through this, and she said it keeps coming back up, and she's tired. She's tired.
Oh, Father God.
So, Michelle,
Father God, we
go
come
ahead.
To the throne right now. We give you praise and we give you glory because you are worthy to be praised, Lord God. We just thank you. We thank you for the precious blood, and we thank you for Jesus. Right now, Father God, we come boldly to the throne for the woman of God who asks for prayer. We bind that demon who brings back her past. We bind the demons that are harming anyone that is listening. For any broken vessel, one who is an outcast, one who is thrown away, you can no longer do this to God's children. We bind you in the heavenly realms as we bind you here on earth. And we command the angels to come and chain these demons of depression, these demons of suicide, these demons of sadness and misery, these demons of broken hearts, Lord God, the demons that are abusers, the molestations, the rape, we bind them right now, Father God, and I command the angels to chain these demons up. Matter of fact, I bind anything that is not of you, Lord God. I bind anything that is not of you, whether it is a demon or a holy or a human spirit. And I command the angels to come and chain it and take it straight to hell right now. And it cannot come back to the day you come back, Jesus, and take us home. And in the meantime, it cannot assign another demon or human spirit in its place. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. I ask for peace be still on this woman right now, Lord God. I ask you to wash her mind, body, soul, spirit, and flesh, and equip her with your whole complete armor of God. Legions and legions of angels that are assigned to this woman, go forth to her right now and surround her, comfort her, guard her, keep her, and protect her in her dreams. Protect her in her sleep. In the name of Jesus. And for any soul that was listening, Lord God, who was also hurting, who is also broken, whether it's a male, female, or a child. I command the angels to come forth and protect them. Put a hedge of protection around them, Lord God, for no weapon formed against any one of these shall prosper. Protect them, angels, in the midnight hour. In peace be still, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Evangelist Teresa, are you there? Hello?
Yes, I am here. I am here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was trying to
Hallelujah.
Talk on the other phone. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God.
I don't know how many people. Is anybody listening? If you need someone to talk to, I have a 24-hour hotline. I can be talked to. If you need someone, if you just need a listening ear, or if you need a prayer, you feel free to dial my area code 513-485-3518. If there's some people out here who don't want to talk on the phone but would like to communicate with me, then you can reach me by my email, which is outofthedarknessministries, MINISTRIES, at yahoo.com. Just stand still and know that He is God.
Hallelujah.
He is a healer. He is a deliverer.
Hallelujah.
He's a protector.
Hallelujah.
And you don't have to walk this thing alone. I'm a witness. I'm a witness for the Lord that He is a healer. I'm supposed to be a person, a woman, that have lost her mind. But God has restored me.
Hallelujah.
I have lost my mind. I have tried to commit suicide. I was one of them ones that felt like nothing, but the devil is a liar.
In the name of Jesus.
Don't allow
Hallelujah.
Him to occupy your space.
That's right.
And if you don't know what to say to Jesus, just say, God, I don't know who you are, but the same Jesus that this woman I heard talk on her story, or the same woman that Sister Teresa talks about, I'm asking you to come into my life and help me. Those
yes.
simple little words right there. And watch the mighty hand of God. I said, watch the mighty hand of God.
Yes, hallelujah.
He will come
hallelujah.
In your behalf.
Yes, He will.
Yes, He will.
Ooh, yes, He will.
Yes, He will.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Just call on Him. Because, see, God is looking for willing vessels. God is not going to force His love on anyone. And He's not going to force His will. He looks for people who desire and want to serve Him or who want to get to know Him.
Yes.
Act. Knock on that door and say His name and
Jesus.
Watch God's mighty hand.
Yes,
Me
hallelujah.
And Sister Teresa are living witnesses.
Yes,
testimonies we are. That
yes,
God will heal and deliver you and
yes,
will,
he will
set you free.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone in the chat room asked if you could redo your information. If you could just
sure.
put it in the chat room. And while you're doing that, I just want to put this
when
on
here. When we say it out loud, or put it in the chat room.
Put it in the chat room. And then when we finish with
oh,
this,
okay.
you're going to put it back on, say it out loud, because we'll have 1 minute left. I just want somebody
okay.
to listen to this.
Hey, let me hear you say it. Oh. Let me hear you say, oh, it's been a real hard couple of months, you had enough, but it's been hard for everyone, you're not alone, you've been hurting way too long, let it go and just move on, make your way down to the altar, hand it over and leave it there, it's gonna be alright, it's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
play that. I just had to play that. Put it on the altar.
I'm shouting over here right now.
I'm shouting.
I'm jumped up. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
Glory.
Okay. We're going to get
the altar.
We're going to get the caller on the line, area code 330, and I know who it is. Hello.
Amen. God bless you.
Girl, we shouting for you, okay?
Amen.
Glory to God. What you got to say?
I was truly blessed. It was a much-needed word, much unsigned word. It's all I have been dealing with lately. The enemy always tried to throw back your past in your face, and, you know, I've been trying to steal conceals and stuff. Amen. But God desires to heal for us to go forth. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Truly blessed. My Lord, thank you, Jesus. I thank God for the deliverance. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And hold on to it. Hold on to the deliverance. Every time that demon come and tell you something different, you tell that devil, I'm delivered, I'm healed, I'm set free in the name of Jesus, and I am no longer bound by you. Devil, you are a liar from the beginning, and you're the father of lies, and I rebuke you in
That's
the name
right.
of Jesus. I draw not to God, and because I draw not to God, I can resist you, and you will flee from me in the name
That's
of
right.
Jesus. I no longer belong to you, Satan. I denounce you. You are not my God. You are not my father. I denounce you in the name of Jesus, and I take my rightful authority in the name of Jesus, and I claim healing, deliverance in the name of Jesus. I speak to my own self and tell my own self I will not entertain these thoughts in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the word of God says, set your affections on things above. Let your mind be which is in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Paul
Hallelujah.
Says, I teach you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is acceptable, the perfect will of God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
In the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
And on that note, we have to close because we get ready to be off the air. But glory to God. Go back to the archives and listen to this thing over and over again. If you know anybody that needs to be healed, anybody that needs to be delivered, share this with them. I'm sorry, but the chat room is probably gone right now. They probably can't hear us anymore. But those of us that are on the phone, we still can hear each other. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I want to just tell
Hallelujah.
You. Keep on with the word of God. You got to speak that word of God out loud. And sometimes you're not going to feel like it. And sometimes you're going to say, oh, this is not working. But every chance you get, you tell Satan he's a liar and that God is
yes,
the truth.
Is.
His word is the truth. Hallelujah. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. You say this
in the
thing
name of Jesus.
Until you feel that total breakthrough and deliverance, until Satan can't mess with you no more. And you take the word of God and you plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. Hallelujah. I have the mind of
Hallelujah.
Christ. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, and behold, I am new. Hallelujah. The word of God says, remember not the former things. Hallelujah. Forget the former things.
Hallelujah.
Remember not the things of old. Hallelujah. Behold, I will do a new thing. Shall it not spring forth? Glory to
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now you got me in preaching mode. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. So you got when one of your brothers and sisters is down, you got to go down and get them. Hallelujah. You got to come help them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We got to help them. Hallelujah. Because somebody helped us. Glory to God. We got to help bring them up so they don't drown. Hallelujah. So they don't go under.
Yes.
Because when one mourn, we supposed to mourn with them. And when one rejoice, we supposed to rejoice with them. Glory to God.
Yes.
Trust me. We feel your hurt and we feel your pain because we've been there and done that. But we say you are healed and delivered tonight. Hallelujah. On July the 6th, 2012. Hallelujah. In the
precious
name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank
yeah, we're going to take these bullets with you, boo-boo. Oh, the devil is a liar. Just like she said.
Yes,
she
he
said
is.
He is. under our feet. The devil is under our feet because Jesus has given us authority. He has given us authority over the devil. And he knows that you got a ministry to go forth in. He knows that God has purposed and called you to do something. He just want to keep you down and push you down and batter you down. The devil is a liar. And anybody in your space, in the physical realm or in the natural realm, you tell them, look, in the name of Jesus, I am healed and I am delivered, okay? You will not talk to me that way. I will not listen to this foolishness in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, because I am his child. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And his spirit lives in me.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you.
Now, I tell you what. You can hold on to that. You can hold on to that.
Hallelujah.
Oh my.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm trying to tell you, I was not going to have this broadcast tonight.
I'm so glad you. So glad you did.
They said, come on and go and eat. Let's go eat. And then we go to church after this. I was like, no, I got to do this broadcast tonight. And you know, I eat, honey. I likes to eat. So I would have been okay. I would have been okay going out there to eat. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost, he know more than what we know. The Holy Ghost. I love you, sister.
I love you, too.
Do you have my phone number?
No, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going to give you my phone number. I think it's on Facebook, though, in my info, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's 215. I'm going to give you my cell phone number because I be at work a lot. So it's 215-252-6722.
Okay.
All right. And that's my cell phone. I'll be at work tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. I'll be there till 3 o'clock. If you want to call me anytime during the day, you can. I don't work on Sunday. Usually don't work on Monday, but I might be at work this Monday. I don't know, but I'm off on Sunday and Monday. So anytime you want to call, and Evangelist Michelle said, you know, anytime you want to call her, give her a call. If you can save the information in the chat room, you can. I don't know if you guys can do that or not, but I usually save the notes from the chat room. If you need them, let me know, and I will send them to you on Facebook. Matter of fact, I can send them to you.
Okay.
I think. Let's see. Right, this is Felicia, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always get thrown off by that in him.
Oh yeah. That's
why the devil wants you to be all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for
every time I go forth and start. Wow.
Every time what?
Comes up. Every time I go forth, like, and then it keeps coming up. You know, you have certain people, you know, that come and try to bring up my past. And then also, I'm just tired. I'm tired. I'm in here, and it's tired.
Well, I want to tell you one thing. I'm sending it to you right now because Michelle's information is in there, Out of the Darkness Ministries at yahoo.com. And then her website ministry. And then she also has a book, Come Out of Darkness by Michelle, The Michelle Blessed Story. And her phone number is on there. So I'm sending you that right now. God bless you. That's now you should be able to see it in your inbox. So I'm going to shut this down. I'm at home now. My home phone number is 215-252. 6722. No, that's my cell phone. My home phone number is 215-747-1514. That's my home phone number.
Well, inbox it.
Okay, I'll inbox it because this thing is ready to record and I'm still on here talking. Okay, I'll inbox it to you right now, okay?
Okay.
All right, God bless you. You call me.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Oops.